for everything a company does and everything it stands for, from startup to major global corporation, advertising plays a vital role in selling that message. And although many of us would love to ignore advertising, it's everywhere. And ads do reflect so much of our societies, and do in fact say a lot about the advertisers. Throughout the global pandemic, and especially amidst the Black Lives Matter movement in the United States and calls to end systemic racism, companies are, of course, taking a new approach to selling themselves. Witness the backlash against Facebook for its refusal to crack down on hate speech promoted on its platform, and the boycott from massive leading brands. At the same time, the very difficult and overdue conversations taking place around the world about addressing racism have permeated our workplaces. Many companies are working hard to review policy and practice on diversity and hiring. And of course, they're telling us about it, shouting from the rooftops and filling up your social media feed. But on the point of advertising, in the actual public projection of product or service, there is a massive problem that needs to be addressed, just like the makeup of the boardroom. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Daniel Bache. This week, my guest is Alex Bennett Grant, who is founder and CEO of Amsterdam-based ad agency We Are Pi. Alex is from London and started his career in television. He worked for McCann and Wieden & Kennedy, where he got a taste of working with huge clients on brand and new product. After landing in Amsterdam, Alex would eventually set out on his own with his partners to start their own venture. And like any scrappy startup, Pi has had to work for everything it has, and now in its 10th year has an incredible roster of clients, including Lego, Heineken, Nike, Nikon, and TED. But as you'll hear, as Alex and his partners have worked with clients on some incredible campaigns, the topic of racism in advertising has often been a difficult subject to broach. The norms and biases built into our societies and way of working are shown right back to us in campaigns that are often racist. Alex addressed this very topic last week in a speech for the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity, a talk entitled Before You Shoot, where Alex talks about the industry being complicit in deleting black people from casting before commercials are even shot. As you'll hear, that conversation is much harder to have in a client meeting, and often painful. Alex is of British Jamaican heritage. We also discuss the huge digital shift that's taken place in recent years, and a new report that Pi has called New Society Rules, which lays out how brands can balance new technology and cultural change. Here's my conversation with Alex now, where we begin by talking about We Are Pi's beginnings.
The worst thing that anyone ever asks was, and thankfully they've stopped asking now, but they used to ask all the time when we started, great, you guys have, you know, you guys are crazy, you guys are so daring, you've quit your jobs to, you know, start an agency. What are your top five brands that you'd like to work with? And I'd just be like, I have no idea. My top five brands would be the same as everyone's top five brands. It'd be the coolest brands in the world, you know? And so, what we quickly realized was that was a sort of, you know, superficial conversation that didn't really mean anything. What actually mattered in the end was the individuals that we were going to find, often through our network or through some of the work we'd initially done, that wanted to do something different. That's all you've got as a startup agency. We weren't senior management. I didn't quit my job from being the MD of my previous job. I was in a senior position, reasonably unknown, with lots of enthusiasm. Same with my partners. So we didn't have strong client relationships. We had one relationship with Lego, who was a relatively small client in our previous agency, and they've done some project-based work. And we had started a project with them, which had sort of snowballed into what became the creation of Lego Ninjago, which went on to be this sort of massive franchise. And I'd sort of played, you know, more of a strategic role in that project, and it was like the first time I'd done that, and built up a really good relationship with the client, and we'd sort of pushed them from helping them to advertise one of their existing franchises towards launching a new franchise, and then going even further and saying, well, why can't you just turn this into like a major franchise, like an entertainment franchise, similar to the ones that you license from Disney or Warner Brothers. And so that had sort of turned into a really interesting sort of product development project. And in the end, you know, once we launched the agency, we sort of continued working on that as consultants. And the funny thing was, we sort of hoped that that would lead to riches. you know, that first relationship with an amazing client relationship, working on this incredible, you know, product development thing, which was far broader than advertising. I sort of hoped that, you know, that would lead to us consulting and earning, you know, all of the money we needed for the first year. It didn't work out like that at all. In reality, you know, I think they offered a couple of thousand euros to sort of consult on the project. And it was this big awakening of, oh, shit, I don't know how to run a business and I don't know how to negotiate fees. And it doesn't matter how cool the thing is we're working on. We need to figure out how to turn this into a business. And so we started looking out there for more clients.
You know, you mentioned the financial crisis of a decade ago, and you're growing out of the back of that when budgets, I imagine, are slashed. But at the same time, people are perhaps drawn to working with a young, exciting agency, as you've pointed out, and they perhaps are happy to take your guidance on what's happening in the world, maybe cultural things. But, you know, it's changed a lot on what people are focused on now. And social media is obviously a massive part of the shift you've seen in how advertising is done these days. Has that been an exciting journey to be on, and has sort of the ask from clients really changed in the past decade?
Yeah, it's changed hugely. And, you know, it's funny what happens in a way is that I mentioned before, you know, we had to create a business plan in a sort of roundabout kind of way. Thank God we did that. And one of the things we noticed in the first crisis was that, you know, obviously, like you say, brands were looking for different types of partners to create different types of work. They didn't necessarily know what that was, but they just knew that they, you know, that there must be something different out there. And it was partly driven by price, you know, working with nimble, younger, smaller partners, and partly driven by, like you say, the transformational impact of things like the digital world and its effects on advertising. So we sort of set out saying, hey, we're going to close the gap between, you know, what we have to essentially deliver, which is these big brand ideas. We're an international agency, so largely clients come to us for a big brand idea, like where are we going to go? You know, how are we going to position ourselves in Europe or globally? Or how are we going to enter a new market? Or how do we launch a new product at scale? That's generally what, you know, marketers are looking for from agencies in Amsterdam. And so that's quite a competitive landscape, because that's really like the meaty big briefs. Our way into that was to say, hey, we're going to do that, but we are going to get to the actual, you know, the digital sort of, you know, digital campaigns and social campaigns quicker. We're not going to, you know, hang around in the world of traditional marketing. So we used to say that back in 2011 onwards. It wasn't necessarily true. What was true is that we were going to try and do have a diverse slate of work, but it took us a few years to really master that, to really master like how to do this big sort of, you know, audacious brand stuff with this more sort of nimble, you know, sort of like, you know, social execution. But when we did manage to master that, it really made a huge difference. And suddenly, you know, it's all about bringing in different types of talent and being able to test and learn stuff more, which is really fun, and, you know, making a lot more output, and also, you know, sort of having to figure out how to keep people interested, which, you know, you don't focus so much on when you're doing traditional advertising, because you just sort of pass it off to somebody else and they figure out how to keep people interested.
You know, you talk about traditional advertising there and how much things have changed with social media. I wonder if we could talk a little bit about how much hasn't changed, because when we first spoke, Alex, you were telling me about the conversations that you always maybe tried to have or wanted to have with clients about what advertising looks like. And if we talk about actual diversity, and what people are seeing in different campaigns. And obviously, we'll come on to what that is like today. But talk to me about what that's like as the leader of a business, where maybe you get a little bit of pushback or you don't get as much buy-in from people when you're bringing up a topic like diversity.
Yeah, I mean, it's been one of the biggest sort of subverted themes of my career, or of my life, I suppose. But, you know, it's certainly the thing that bridges, you know, your personal life and your professional life, is the topic of diversity. The first thing that's sort of difficult about it is that it is a topic, you know, whereas if you live as a minority in Europe, then it's not a topic, it's just your life. And so it can be especially difficult to grapple with it every day at work, because every success or failure, but mostly the failure, becomes personal. and you're trying to navigate a career and be successful and be a professional, and you're operating in, you know, in the European landscape where, you know, you have to sort of play by those codes. So I've gone from being a youngster who was sort of shocked and disappointed and upset by, you know, being told that, you know, we can't put certain people in this ad, we can't put, you know, black people in this ad because it's going to run in certain countries that, you know, that don't have black people, or any other sort of version of that on the spectrum from black to mixed race to retouching them to be white. And then I've sort of found my confidence, let's say, or even my voice, you know, over my career, and managed to speak up at the right times, and had some horrible experiences where, you know, you sort of, the moment, you know, you spend all these years just trying to figure out, next time it happens, I won't be blindsided, I will say something, I will be, you know, that sort of, when you post-rationalize everything and you sort of say, you know, next time that big bully comes along, I'm gonna, you know, kick away their legs and I'm gonna punch them in the face and then I'm gonna say something really, really smart, and then I'll walk away, you know, an explosion of a big explosion. So that's the sort of mindset I've always had around this. And so it's so horrible and demoralizing when you do that, you know, without the violence, of course, and you just get ignored or completely dismissed. And that happened many times in my career. So what it led to was me picking my battles more carefully. Okay, this one I'm going to let slide because it's subtle and, you know, I don't have the energy for it today. Oh, this one's pretty overt, so let's see if I could take on this conversation and try and change someone's behavior or opinion. And then slowly building up until I was at the head of an agency and more able to create a culture where we would be taking on these topics one by one and hoping to win over conversations more often.
You talk about being in a sort of a position to bring up or have those types of conversation. Obviously, you talk about your personal experience being woven into what you are seeing in the image you're trying to show others, who, of course, operate with blinders on sometimes, or operate with huge biases in their work, and they're not seeing things from your perspective. Has it been rewarding in a way? I don't know if that's the right word, to be able to have those conversations when you are in a position to give people not only advice, but to open their eyes to the way the world perhaps should be.
No, I don't think it is rewarding at all, actually. I think it's the opposite of that. I think it's very difficult, it's very painful, and it's very upsetting, and it takes a lot of energy. Still to this day, it doesn't take any less energy to be faced with a topic that's brought to me by someone in the team, or, you know, presented to me in my face, because I still have to wind myself up from sort of like passively sitting in a meeting, you know, participating in a professional discussion, to suddenly being like dropped into the ocean emotionally of like, oh, hold on a minute, what are we talking about now? Suddenly we're not talking about, you know, how to shift its brand left or right, or how to create the most incredibly creative work. Suddenly we're talking about, it seems like we're talking about me, you know, or anyone else in the room who feels that way. And so no, it isn't actually satisfying. It's very difficult. But what is satisfying is talking about it now. Talking about it at the stage I can, or the virtual stage, and talking about it as an industry. Because for the first time ever, literally ever, the conversation that's been the everyday reality of anybody who's not, you know, described as white in advertising, is a universal discussion. And so now we can point to it. We can say, hey, you know, remember that conversation we're having as industry, you know, because surely it will die down in the next few months. Remember that conversation we're having in industry? That's what this is about, you know, and we can talk about it more professionally. And that's such a massive relief. I can't tell you the amount of people who are feeling that sense of relief that I speak to, like, oh my God, we can talk about it now. And so, yes, it has shifted from being painful and not at all satisfying in regards to my senior position to being liberating in the way that it's become a public discussion.
Well, I want to ask you about Cannes, but first maybe we should just get into sort of the period we are in now. Obviously, we have one pandemic that has put us in a certain worldview, a certain position where brands and perhaps a lot of your clients were coming to you and saying, hey, we need to say something to show that we're here for our customers or whatever it is. And then that conversation changes dramatically because of everything that's happened in the United States and more broadly, Amsterdam, London, about Black Lives Matter. And obviously your customers are coming to you now and probably asking, how do we get involved in the conversation? How do we say something? We want to say something. What do we say? What has it been like in the last few weeks where people come to you and say, you know, what is your advice? How do we craft this message in the right way? Has that happened at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened a lot. I mean, it's happened. It's everything suddenly, you know. I tell you what, you know, the way I look at it is I am sort of geared for, you know, change. I love change. Anything to do with change is my happy place. You know, whether it be, you know, my personal life, professional life, I get off on that. So the fact that the industry has suddenly become existential and, you know, it's not just in small pockets, you know, like, again, we've been talking about digital transformation for 20 years, but, you know, it seems to be still something that we're grappling with over multiple decades. Suddenly COVID has thrown one radical transformation at us and we're having to change like in the moment. And it's the same with the Black Lives Matter thing, which is as surprising to me as anyone else, that like, well, hold on a minute, you know, like we're having that conversation. So I love this moment because it means that everything is up for grabs. Everything can change. I don't expect it to, you know, change at the pace that we've experienced in the last few months ongoing. Of course, none of us have the energy for that, even the ones that want change. But I do really like those conversations because it means that we have a meaning. You know, a client comes to us and says, how do we react to COVID? Now, sure, a lot of the ads and reactions have been really dull and, you know, not very interesting for the end consumer. But the conversations that you have with your clients and with your colleagues and partners are far more interesting, important, existential than you were having a few months earlier. Same with Black Lives Matter. You know, it's like we're going to talk about the biggest, you know, sort of crisis of, you know, of society for the last, you know, X hundred years, and we're going to bring it into our day job. Great, let's go. Are we going to get it right? Probably not. Are our clients going to get it right? Probably not. But it's a lot more interesting than figuring out what to post on a Tuesday. Hmm.
You know, obviously, we talk about this sort of period we're in out of the pandemic, and people look to, I think, brands and companies for a little bit of guidance, and they tie that now a lot to their identity. So I think here there is a lot of opportunity, and we talk about change. You know, a few weeks ago, before people were protesting in the street about a much more longstanding issue, they were talking about how we sort of double down on the mission, how we, you know, show people this is what we're about and this is what we're going to do. Now that is, you know, at another level. It's another much more important stage, I think, and that has to do with racism and diversity. But where do you think change actually happens in the industry you're in? Is it around campaigns? Is it around conversations with clients? How does that sort of momentum continue to have these conversations?
I think it starts with having permission to have the conversation. I mean, I can't tell you how shocking and exciting and powerful it is to be allowed to have the conversation. I mean, I'm having it every day with our immediate clients, with brands that we don't work with people in the industry all over the world, people reaching out, me reaching out to other people. It's amazing what's happening right now. You know, I've got friends in the US telling me, hey, you need to understand what's happening in the US right now is not just another black guy getting killed by the police. It's definitely more like 1960s in terms of, you know, social change. And of course, you know, sometimes even if it has arrived on the shores of Europe, we don't feel it in the same way because we're not as united, because we all speak different languages, we all have different cultures, and so it's not as tangible at scale. And so I think that the existential question of, you know, where does it play out? It plays out in talent. You know, it plays out in management. And it plays out in the work. And those sound simple, but they're not. You know, you can't make the entire, you know, European and UK advertising scene suddenly have diversity. You know, you need to start at the grassroots. But the conversation I've been having in the last few weeks have been about, okay, how do you take some of these grassroots initiatives and actually supercharge them? You know, people are now looking at changing their senior management to be more representative, which is forcing people to give up the throne in certain instances, which is pretty radical. And then it does need to come out in the work, because a lot of the people I've spoken to have said, hey, you know, you're talking about casting. Is it just about casting or is it about the industry? I say it's about both. You know, like, who cares what goes on in the advertising industry, really? No one. No one cares. Like, no one even wants to watch the thing that we're making in the first place. I don't have that in some sort of, like, belief that we're doing something that the world needs right now. However, we are the mouthpiece of commerce. We are the mouthpiece of some of the most powerful organisations in the world. And we are the image that's projected most into the world. We're more powerful than movies and more powerful than music because we are, you know, commercially, we've got that weight. We push and force ourselves into people's lives, whereas people choose which movies they want to watch. And so, you know, as much as I do agree 100% that we need to change the makeup of the talent in the industry, we also need to make sure that the stories we tell are more diverse, not just through tokenism, but through, you know, just being more creative about the types of story we tell in the world. Because that can really actually make a difference to normal people's lives when they see more interesting representations of society presented back to them.
Alex, if we're talking about the need for structural change, and I think you hit the nail on the head there already with the fact that it won't only be white men leading companies going forward. There has, of course, been a shift with more women taking up senior roles in recent years, but of course, there needs to be more diversity. I just wonder for you, as one of a small number of black CEOs in Europe, certainly, what are you thinking about in this time, and what does the conversation mean for you as a person in a leadership role?
The funny thing about that question is I always have to remind myself we are in Europe, you know, because there is a sort of, you know, we certainly haven't made enough progress to represent, you know, all the voices that need to be at the table. But equally, there is a limit, you know, in terms of what a realistic diversity will look like within UK, Europe, and even the US. So then I ask myself the question of, so how do we get to, you know, good? And then where do we go from there? And I think that getting to good is the job of the industry as a whole. Like if we want to represent, you know, if just thinking commercially, if you want to represent the biggest opportunities, you have to represent the broadest, you know, spectrum of customers, of consumers, of audiences. But I think that what's more interesting than that is new businesses, new business models, new talent, who aren't necessarily only being sort of championed in with existing organizations, which are inherently, you know, they come with their biases, they come with their infrastructures. And I think that, you know, that's what I've tried to do with Pi. You know, I don't think it's always possible to fundamentally change 20th century patriarchal white-led businesses. And then, you know, like that's a lot of hard work to get them to change. And they're not designed to change. They're designed to maintain the status quo and protect the problems that they are there to solve. And so, I also think it's really important that we encourage entrepreneurialism, whether it be in marketing or beyond, encourage black businesses and encourage them to not only exist as to serve black communities or minority communities. I think that can also be a sort of a default that, you know, oh, it's black business is here to serve its own community. No, I think that the more people that are encouraged and enabled to start businesses with different starting points, the more interesting our industry and others will become.
100%. Talk to me about what else is on your plate these days. Obviously, we are in, well, so many superlatives and cliches we could throw here in this moment, it feels like. Talk to me about some of the projects you guys have going on right now and what it's been like as a creative agency to not be together for that, because it's so important, obviously, that you're with each other in the same place talking about these ideas. But what's it been like and what do you have going on these days?
Well, I mean, I think we're very lucky. I don't know how lucky we'll be for how long, but so far this period has been okay for us. And, you know, I think I try to look broadly and think about, okay, how did we start our business? We started our business in a crisis during the 2008 crisis. And, you know, we have to sort of follow the principles that we had then, obviously a lot smaller as a business, and try to figure out what the equivalent would be for now. So there is learning from the past. it hasn't been easy to be a part, but it's certainly been interesting and exciting as much as it's been difficult. Interesting and exciting because, you know, we've all taken the chance to have a bit more headspace. Amsterdam, luckily, in the Netherlands, has not been as strict as some places. You could say that's a good thing, a bad thing, but it means that quality of life has been maintained to a certain degree. It's a small city, you know, it's relatively accessible anyway. Our team have been amazing at creating different initiatives and ways to, you know, to get through it. And one of the things that we've been working on for a number of months before and then during COVID was new society rules. And that's been a sort of a project that we've been working on, which suddenly sort of has new meaning, you know, off the back of COVID and Black Lives Matter, because it's all about trying to create a sort of guide to change, you know, a marketer's guide to change. And specifically, you know, the cultural changes that are happening with younger generations and how marketers can grapple with that as opposed to ignoring it or being scared of it. And the reason we did that was because we see so much focus on digital, you know, up until a few months ago, digital transformation. You know, we talk about it till it's blue in the face, but really what we believe is the biggest, should be the biggest focus is cultural transformation. And so we wrote this great report. We did a lot of interviews with some really interesting leaders in different communities as part of that. And then suddenly COVID happened. And so, you know, whereas before it'd be hard to sort of convince people that cultural transformation is as important as digital transformation, suddenly it's like, it's only about cultural transformation. Everything's about cultural and societal change. And so we were really lucky with that. It's been a really nice success so far.
I'm glad you brought that up. And just walk me through that a little bit, because this is, as you say, a lot about technology in that digital transformation. But how is that tied to actual culture? And as you say, it gives you a completely different lens now to talk about this with your clients.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main sort of, you know, red thread that we focus on is, like most agencies, I suppose, is trying to find the human, you know, just trying to find the human in any topic. And increasingly in a sort of, in a world which is very much more digital, we're all terrified of and sort of, you know, in awe of the non-human, you know, the digital, the, you know, the, whether it be the things that are threatening our economy in terms of, you know, like, you know, bots and algorithms, or the, you know, the huge companies that own those things. And so it can be quite distracting. Whereas, you know, having real conversations with leaders of certain different communities. So we talked to someone called Phil Young, who is a sort of, you know, leader in the outdoor space. He's a black guy from the UK. And we talked to him about opening up the outdoors, for example, and how, you know, the outdoors, you know, how space is racialized and how, you know, as we sort of look to the next generation who, for example, in the US, who are sort of like, you know, really grappling with that and taking it on, and in Europe where we don't really grapple with that and we need to. So talking about, you know, what that represents as a important topic, but also what brand can do, you know, that's a massive opportunity. We talked to people in, you know, the different communities about the impact of a new mainstream, you know, which is very much a minority-led mainstream popular culture, and how, you know, how sort of brands and media institutions need to rethink, you know, things away from a white perspective and actually sort of understand that, you know, there's new voices at the table and how that can be a great opportunity as opposed to a threat. So, you know, just taking some of the sort of, some of them small and misunderstood, some of them bigger and more widely covered topics, and sort of breaking those down.
Absolutely fascinating. Alex, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate this.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Alex Bennett Grant, CEO and founder of Amsterdam-based agency We Are Pi. My thanks to Alex for sharing his story. You can find out more and read their New Society Rules Roadmap over at wearepi.com. That's it for this week's program. My thanks to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.